Welcome once again. It's Speaking of Schools from South Carolina's Department of Education. I am Doug Keel, welcoming you to today's podcast and welcoming Bradford Swan, who is the Executive Director of Students First SC. And that is an organization that is devoted to improving education in the Palmetto State. And a lot of our conversation today will be dealing with the Abbeville County School District versus the State of South Carolina Supreme Court case, which the legislature will be dealing with in the coming months. And we'll be talking about an achievement school district here in South Carolina and how Bradford and his organization feels that this is a potential solution for some of South Carolina's education issues. So stay with us today as we learn about the Achievement School District and the organization Students First South Carolina. We are Speaking of Schools. Today on Speaking of Schools, we're going to talk about what many consider to be a great opportunity for South Carolina to improve its education program. We're going to be visiting with Bradford Swan, and Bradford's the Executive Director of Students First SC. It's an organization in South Carolina, obviously from its name. They've got an excellent website that we'll be talking to you about a little later. But let's welcome Bradford Swan to Speaking of Schools. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, glad to have you, and really do appreciate the fact that you're there. Give us a little bit of information about the organization, Students First SC.
Yes, sir. So Students First South Carolina, we are a nonprofit here in the state. We've got about 20,000 members. Our membership is free. Our membership is really a group of moms, dads, grandparents, teachers that want the best for our kids in the state. So we focus as an organization on improving education outcomes here in South Carolina in the K-12 space.
Okay, and so right now the banner that you're carrying reads with this Abbeville versus South Carolina School District, our school case that's before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has ruled in that and found that the state doesn't provide an equitable education to every student. So after that ruling, what kind of progress have we made in the past year to find a solution?
Yeah, well, I mean, you nailed it with the lawsuit. I mean, this is, I'll be honest with you, probably from an education perspective, the most critical and at the same time most exciting time in our state in the last 20 or 30 years. Because really, with the ruling of this court, we have this amazing opportunity in front of us to address education, not just kind of here or there, but really holistically. And that's such a challenge to do. And it's unfortunate it's taken, you know, this long to get there, but the legislature really seemed committed, I think, to addressing it in the upcoming session. And as you know, with the court's ruling, we really have up through the upcoming session to really come up with a quality, I think what they're defining as an adequate level of education in the state for our kids. Well, I was going to say, really, so to answer your question, you know, since the court's ruling last November, you've seen both the House and Senate appoint task force. Both task force have kind of gone at it slightly differently. The House, led by House Education Chairwoman Rita Allison, has broken out into subcommittees, each one focused on kind of a different piece of the education pie. They are all kind of rolling up right now. We will see them come together probably as a whole in November with the plan of having a task force proposal out in front of the public probably by the end of this month. I assume that will be voted on and then go to the General Assembly for consideration.
And the General Assembly has been given a little additional leeway as far as a date to come up with a plan, I believe.
That's right. Originally, the court gave them until I think it was February 1st, and just frankly in the last week or so, you've seen the court move that deadline back and really give them through the end of session. And I think a lot of that is, look, like, this is really tough work. There's no silver bullet, so you have to address this thing comprehensively. And the legislature has made some great progress through these task force. But you know, I'm of the belief they do need more than a couple weeks of session to adequately address this thing. And now they have that.
Well, one of the ideas that is being proposed, there have been editorials in major newspapers across the state, and one of the ideas that you espouse with Students First SC is an achievement school district. Talk a little about an achievement school district and tell us how that kind of district improves education with schools that are struggling across the state.
Yeah, definitely, sir. And what I would say, I mean, I would start the conversation by saying, you know, the concept of an achievement school district is a proven model that we've seen, you know, other conservative states like Louisiana and Tennessee implement and have big success. And what it is at the end of the day, it is really kind of the key tool, if you will, in the accountability toolbox when it comes to education. And with this tool, you can transform our schools that are struggling the most. So think about this. Unlike a traditional school district that's bound by, you know, a geographic footprint, the common denominator really in an achievement school district is that the district is made up of schools that are in the bottom 5% based on performance in the state. So think of it almost as like a statewide network consisting of our schools that are really struggling the most to deliver for our kids. Now, this district, it has a superintendent, but unlike a traditional superintendent that I would say, you know, has to worry about personnel, transportation, facilities, and kind of everything out there, this superintendent really just focuses on three things. The first is, which of the schools in the bottom 5% of the state should actually go into the achievement school district? And I think, Doug, this is a key point. So just because a school is in the bottom 5% of schools on performance in the state doesn't automatically mean it's in the achievement school district. It just means it's eligible to go in. So the first thing the superintendent has to do is really identify which schools should go in, which schools should not. When I look at Tennessee, that's really done a great job of this, they're in their fourth year of it. They're 4 years in, and they're only up to 30 schools. So they have over 80 schools in the state that are eligible, meaning make up the bottom 5%, but they're only up to 30 schools. And that's because this isn't just a catch-all, cast a big net. This is very targeted, surgical transformation for these schools. And it's, you know, turning around a school that struggled for some time is tough work. So the first thing the superintendent really has to do is figure out which schools should be eligible. The next thing the superintendent does when working with the community is come up with a transformation or turnaround model for these schools. And then the last thing he does is he sets out a strong performance network. And really kind of the secret sauce here, when you see an achievement school district making these big gains in some of these schools that, particularly in Tennessee, a year or two were really struggling, kind of the secret sauce is they go in and they give these schools total flexibility. So around calendar, curriculum, personnel, and in return, they hold them to an extremely high standard that they have to hit along the way to stay on track. Now, the last three things I just want to stress, because these are the questions I always get when I talk about this, is these schools that end up in the achievement school district continue to be neighborhood schools. So we're not talking about, you know, doing anything to the attendance zone. It is still the neighborhood school. The next thing I'll tell you is there's no additional cost for these schools that go into the achievement school district. So the same per pupil that used to be with the child when he was in the school that was in the district in the bottom 5% of the state follows that child over when the school still becomes or still stays the neighborhood school but is now in the achievement school district. And then the last thing I'd say is, you know, once schools are in the achievement school district, they get back on track, they go back to the district. So this isn't meant to be some catch-all, let's build this new thing. It is literally meant to kind of be the triage to get these schools back on track.
That's very interesting. As Bradford Swan, the executive director of Students First South Carolina, or Students First SC, is joining us here on Speaking of Schools. SCAchievementSchoolDistrict.org is an excellent website that Bradford and his folks have put out to where you can get a great deal of information about the South Carolina Achievement School District. Bradford, am I hearing you say, okay, that there is a superintendent for the Achievement School District, but that rest the remaining faculty, the remaining staff, of the curriculum staff, the administrative staff in those districts stays the same?
Well, and, you know, again, we're talking total flexibility. flexibility here. So when you see this model, you know, and again, let me say, like, we're South Carolina, so we can look at our neighbors in Tennessee, we can look at our neighbors in Louisiana. Let's figure out what they've done right, and let's make it even better here, right? But what you're seeing in both of those states that has worked so well is really giving these schools total flexibility. And the part of that is that, you know, each one of these schools, I mean, we're talking about schools that have struggled consistently year after year. And the challenges of each one of those is going to be unique. So we don't want to say, this is what you do to turn around the school. Instead, we need to say, you have total flexibility to turn around this school, but here are the benchmarks that we expect you to hit in order to turn around the school.
Is the decision as to the eligible schools that of the new superintendents alone, or are other parts like boards and things with that superintendent part of making that decision?
You know, and of course, again, it has to be customized to what the legislature here in South Carolina see right for South Carolina. But I think when you look at other states, what they're doing is it is up to the sole discretion of the superintendent. Now, obviously, he's going to reach out for input. No one person can make that decision on their own, right? But where the community really steps in is in, you know, how do we transform the school? What is the best model to get these kids back on track? So it's still, at the end of the day, community input is key in this. And that's partly because it remains a community school.
Well, we know by that South Carolina has had a surge in economic growth over the past 10 or 15 years. You can look at the major industries that have come to South Carolina. But at the same time, the corridor of shame continues to exist. Other schools in South Carolina that are underachieving schools exist. And this is what that's directed at, this achievement school district is directed at. And that basically is providing graduates from these schools the opportunity to work in 21st century jobs and have success in them. Am I correct with that?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And I'll tell you two other things. You know, again, we're talking about schools in the bottom 5% of the state. So that means, you know, 95% of the schools in the state aren't on the table for discussion. And I think it's easy for those parents to say, this doesn't impact my kid. This is, you know, sounds great, but it's great for somebody else. And I think we have to look at it as a state, particularly on the economic development issue, and say, this impacts us all. And the reality is, you know, with Boeing now, Mercedes going in, we've got Volvo coming, we've got BMW here in the upstate, we are becoming this economic engine. And if we don't raise the talent in our state to fill these 21st century jobs, these large companies are going to have to go to Georgia and to North Carolina and elsewhere to find these jobs. So I think it is imperative for all of us in the state, whether our kids go to one of these schools or not, to really rally behind this and let's transform the state. And I think in a lot of ways that starts with helping the kids that need the most help, which are in these schools that are really struggling to produce high-quality graduates ready for these jobs.
Well, your website says thousands of students fall into this category. I don't doubt that. And, of course, we're not talking about the number of students that would make up the Achievement School District. But how many would you say, how many schools right now would you say fall into that 5% range in South Carolina? Do you have a feel for that?
Yes, sir. I mean, depending on how you want to cut it, it's approximately probably 60, yes, sir. So 60 is approximately 5% of the total number of schools in South Carolina. Now, again, let me stress, though, just because a school is eligible doesn't mean it will end up. There are a lot of schools that I think that despite being in the bottom 5% of schools in our state, they may have just gotten a new principal, a new school board, and they may be showing progress to getting back on track. One of the big things we look at is growth, right? Because often the kids in these schools are 1 or 2 years behind, right? So we care about growth, the growth of a child over the course of the year, which ultimately means that we're getting that kid back on track, again, to go into one of these 21st century jobs. So, you know, approximately 60 schools would probably be eligible. I would suspect that a superintendent, you know, year one, probably between four and maybe seven schools. I mean, again, like, these are very targeted interventions, and you can't go too fast. And I think Tennessee's proof of that, right? Like, they've got great results, but 4 years in, they're up to 30 schools.
Schools like this improve communities once they improve. Obviously, it's a win-win situation for everybody that participates. Are the communities involved any differently than they are now once the Achievement School District is formed? Have the Tennessee and Louisiana models involved any of the communities?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly there's been community input. I mean, that's the key, and it remains a neighborhood school. So I think, you know, how does the community benefit? Well, the community benefits from having high-quality schools.
Certainly.
And I think you go from a situation where, you know, I mean, look at some of the results. I mean, this is sad. I was looking at a press release that DOE put out, and it was our end of the 2005 end-of-course examination results. And statewide, and I hate to talk about the bad side of education, which is students not on track, but I think that's the part that we often forget about, right? And I was looking at the percentage statewide of kids that made either a D or F in algebra, 35%, biology, 35%, English, 40%. That's statewide, okay? I picked one district that has been struggling and went in and looked. All right, in one district in our state, 87% of the kids received a D or an F in Algebra 1, 90% in biology, and in English, 80%. Now, this is a small district, so I think you have to keep those numbers, you know, in the context of it being a small district. But you talk about for a community, I mean, how do you bounce back as a community if that's the results we're seeing? Like, the only way to empower those people is through a high-quality education. And I think for the schools that need the help the most, this is the only proven method out there for transforming not only the school, but transforming the community.
Well, we'll certainly be interested to see what happens with the Achievement School District if that is the plan that the South Carolina legislature comes up with in terms of improving the education in these school districts. These bottom 5% of the schools in South Carolina, as Bradford has said, approximately 60 schools that would be eligible. Certainly not that number coming in immediately into the school district. Bradford Swan is the executive director, Students First SC. And Bradford, before we leave this edition of Speaking of Schools, have we left out anything that you would like to say? Have I failed to maybe direct your questions into a particular area that you would like to shed some light on?
Sir, I would just tell folks, you know, even though this has been around for, you know, 10-plus years in Louisiana, 4-plus years in Tennessee, I realize to some folks out there it may be a new concept. And what I would tell them is to go to the website, scachievementschooldistrict.org, and check it out for themselves. We've got results there from Tennessee, Louisiana. You know, don't believe me. Go out, check it out, learn for yourself. But I think once you do, you'll realize that this isn't a silver bullet, but it's definitely a tool in the accountability toolbox that we don't have today. And hopefully with it, we can see some big progress in our schools that need it the most. So thank you so much for your time. It was a great to catch up with you.
Well, that once again, that website, scachievementschooldistrict.org. And as Bradford said, it's chock full of information that you'll learn about the South Carolina Achievement School District once you go there on the web. Bradford, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate your being with us on Speaking of School.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
And that's a wrap on this week's Speaking of Schools. Thanks for being with us. We've enjoyed talking with Bradford Swan, the executive director of Students First South Carolina. Learned a lot about the Achievement School District concept. Hope you did too, and certainly would be one of the models that South Carolina's legislature would be looking at as it seeks to resolve the issues in the Abbeville County School District versus State of South Carolina lawsuit. Speaking of Schools comes to you from South Carolina's Department of Education. We're a weekly feature here at this website, and appreciate your being with us as we attempt to bring you news about education in South Carolina and keep you up to date with some of the great things that are happening in schools around the Palmetto State. I'm Doug Keel, thanking you for the pleasure of your company and inviting you to join us once again next week when we'll be speaking of schools.